All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Badass Lifter podcast. Just before we start, just some quick updates about me. So my wife is she's actually a travel nurse. She's about to be a travel nurse, and I'm gonna come with her. Feeling pretty grateful. I have like an online remote job, so I can go with her on kind of this little journey. She's gonna be doing different contracts around Canada, which means I get to travel around Canada and, keep doing my online training thing, but I'm pretty excited to go. And this is going to be the last podcast recording I do in where I live now, which is West Coast Canada. Also, I'm Canadian, if you guys didn't know. I think I mentioned that before, but apparently I don't have too much of an accent. And sometimes people can tell, sometimes people can't. Usually when I say the word about, that's the one that people, that's where like, oh, no, he is Canadian. Apparently I sound really Canadian when I say that word, but yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I'll update you on how that goes, where we end up traveling to. I think it's going to be more rural cities, which is going to be exciting because I've always been like a city person, like a big city person. So pretty excited to try that out, see what that life is like. Let me know if you're more rural or if you're from a big city as well. But anyways, probably should talk about fitness now. So today we're going to be talking about like fitness myths that I think hold beginner lifters back. These are common questions that I get. Sometimes these are things that I think hold beginner lifters back from really diving into training and becoming strong, confident lifters. So I have seven. Some of these we've talked about before, but I think are important to talk about again. And some of these are new. And I just want to clear the air on these and let you know that these are myths for one, and then also how you should prioritize your training instead. So the first one is going to be that your knees can't pass over your toes when you're squatting. Now I want to explain where this myth came from and why it's okay for your knees to pass over your toes. And actually, in a lot of scenarios, like you're going to have your knees pass over your toes, otherwise it's going to affect your form. So the idea behind this was that when your knees pass over your toes, it puts more pressure and stress on your knee joint. So the farther you bring your knees out, the more stress it is, the more like quote unquote unsafe. Now, this is true. I think what they fail to mention is that more stress does not mean too much stress. So kind of an example where if you take cycling or you take running, running is harder on the joints than cycling. It's just higher impact. But it doesn't mean that running is bad. It just means that it's higher impact, but it doesn't mean too much impact. And that most people, especially like if you're a regular runner, can take the impact from running, even though it is higher impact. And that's kind of the same thing here, where yes, you can stop your knees from traveling as far, but you don't have to because your body's able to take that stress. Now, if you have a chronic injury you're working around or something specific about your legs or knees that don't allow you to, there are some special circumstances where you don't want your knees to pass over your toes, or you at least want to limit the amount of travel. I have one specific lifter I'm working with right now who is like that. But she's the only one, but everybody else is knees over toes and it's totally fine. And they have healthy knees and they can do what they want to do. So if you have, just healthy legs or at least not injured legs, you probably can have your knees pass over your toes. And in many scenarios, you're going to want to, because if we take something like the squat, two things happen when you squat down. Knees move forward, hips move back. And that's good because that allows, the balance to be in place, where if your knees just move forward and nothing else moves back, then you're gonna have a lot of it's not balanced. You're gonna be leaning forward to you're gonna have too much pressure in front of you. You might fall backwards. So you actually want like your hips to move back and your knees to move forward in the squat. And so knees over toes is actually probably going to be a good thing to focus on, especially if you're focusing on you want like a really deep squat or you want to work on your depth in your squat, that allowing your knees to travel forward more is going to be a good thing. So not only is this like a myth, but in many scenarios, this is just like bad advice. And that bringing your knees over your toes allows you to focus more on your quads, allows you to lift more weight, allows you to lift with more depth. It's actually like a cue that I've used for people who want to get stronger. So if you've heard this myth before that your knees can't pass over your toes, If you have healthy knees, you're fine. Please don't let this hold you back. The second one is that you have to be sore for it to be an effective workout. Now, there's a little bit of nuance here. So do you need to be sore after every workout for it to count? No. And there are some people who just don't get sore that often. It's very common to get sore if you're really new to lifting. But over time, people tend to get less sore with a lot of exercises and they don't have as much soreness. Some people still do, but some people, like I'll use myself as an example, where like kind of no matter how hard I train my quads or an exercise that involves quads, I don't really have a lot of quad soreness. It's very rare where there are other exercises like hamstrings. I can do like 3 sets of hamstring exercises and like I'm going to feel it the next day. So some people are weird like that. But do you need to be sore for it to be a good workout? No. In fact, there can be lots of great workouts without being sore. And if you are sore, that's also fine for the most part. I would say there's 2 key things I want to mention though. If you are always sore, there's probably an issue there. Like you're training too hard or you're not recovering enough or something, there needs to be a discussion there because you shouldn't be always sore. On the flip side, if you are never sore, especially in the muscle groups that you're training, that could be a sign that you're either 1, not training as hard as you could train, or 2, not actually training the muscle group you think you're training. And I think sometimes this happens with new lifters. They're doing an exercise that they think trains the hamstrings and it's not. So you don't feel sore in that muscle group because you're not actually training it. It could also be a form or technique thing where you're not getting that soreness because you're not effectively targeting that muscle and you actually need to improve on your form. So do you always need to be sore? No. And in fact, that's bad. But if you were never sore, could be a sign that there's probably something there that you need to adjust. You should get sore on occasion, at least every now and then, especially in the muscle groups that you're training. But no, you don't need to be sore to have an effective workout. Here's like another one that I think I wanted to talk about is that this exercise will burn belly fat, or doing this arm exercise will tone your arms, or if you do this leg exercise, it will tone your legs and give you a thigh gap or like things like that. And this is called like spot reduction. And this is actually a big myth. I'm working on a metaphor here to explain this. Let me know if this makes sense. If it doesn't, then like comment, message me, and let me know that this isn't a good metaphor, and then I won't use it again. Let's say I want to pick up a coffee mug from my table. Like I'm drinking coffee, I pick it up, and I'm wearing a sweater. Did the sweater help me pick up the coffee mug? You'd be like, no, like the sweater was around, but like it didn't help you lift up the coffee mug. And it's kind of the same idea for lifting weights, that if I'm doing an arm exercise or I'm doing a back exercise, the muscles are being worked, but the fat in that area is just kind of there. Like it's just not really part of the process. It's kind of like the sweater where like if I'm working out like a t-shirt, like the t-shirt didn't help me lift. It's not being targeted, and neither is the fat. And where you lose fat is going to be entirely genetic, but there's a lot of advertising online that is, you know, do this to tone this. And that like toning is going to be a combination of targeting that fat in that area, as well as building muscle mass. And you might do the muscle mass part, but you're not doing the fat part. Where you burn fat is entirely genetic, no matter what exercises you do. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Lots of studies on this that have tested this theory. You can't target belly fat. It kind of just goes where it goes. Okay. Now, another myth that I've heard is that if you're over 40, you can't lift heavy, or you shouldn't be lifting heavy anymore, or it's inherently unsafe for you to lift heavy. And I want to kind of talk about this because I have a lot of lifters I'm working with right now in their 40s and 50s who are lifting heavy, doing, you know, 80% of their maxes on the regular. You know, they're not just doing light weights. They're not just doing, you know, toning exercises, things like that. Like they're lifting heavy and they want to lift heavier in the future. Lifting heavy is never inherently unsafe. If you lift too heavy for your strength level, that can be problematic. But lifting heavy in and of itself is not an unsafe thing if you are over 40. One thing you might notice is that if you're over 40, is that it might take longer to recover. and that you might not be able to lift as heavy as often. And then you have really focusing on recovery is going to be a big factor. But it's not like, let's say your max is 200 pounds. Like if a person who is 45 tries to lift 200 or 205 or whatever it might be, that like that's an unsafe thing they are doing. They still have to have good form. They still have to lift heavy for their strength level, wherever that might be. But they can still lift it fine. And there's no reason why after 40 that you suddenly can't lift heavy anymore. And I work with a lot of people who 40s, 50s, 60s, still lifting heavy. I had a longtime lifter I worked with named Sue, who on her 65th birthday deadlifted 210 as like kind of an example and was totally fine, didn't hurt her. So definitely not a thing. I don't want you to worry about that. Excuse me. Now, another one I want to talk about is that barbells are for serious lifters only or slash power lifters. And I think a lot of beginner lifters see people using the barbells and they're like, well, that's for people who are weightlifting or for younger people or for people who lift really heavy. Like I should stick to dumbbells, maybe some machines and that's it. This is not the case. Barbells are very useful for basically everybody. They are probably the most, versatile machine that they have in the gym, or not machine, but equipment. There's just so many things that you can do with them. They're 45 pounds. Like if you're dumbbell rowing, you know, 230s or 240s, there's no real reason why you can't also barbell row a 45 pound bar. Are they awkward to use at first? Yeah, they can be. It's a 7 foot long bar. Like you probably haven't lifted something like that before, but the more you use them, the more comfortable it becomes. And then they actually become fairly comfortable to use in a lot of exercises. And as you're lifting heavier, they become more comfortable than probably what you were doing before. So let's say you were goblet squatting with dumbbells. Eventually you get to the point where holding the dumbbell is going to be harder than actually squatting it down. But barbells don't run into that issue because you can put the bar in your back. You can add plates on both sides. So it's doesn't become hard to hold the weight because it's in a better position for lifting heavy. Goblet squats are great for when you start out and learning the movement, but eventually if you're holding like 50, 60, 70 pounds in front of you, it's going to be harder just to hold it there than it actually is to squat it down. And this is something where a barbell just does better. Like it's just better for lifting as heavy as you want to lift. And even cheap barbells go up to like 500 pounds weight capacity, which is going to be good for, I'm assuming, most people who listen to this podcast. I think I've ran into this issue once for one lift where that 500 pound weight capacity was an issue. But barbells are really useful for everybody. I don't want you to think that they're just for the serious lifters or for young people, or if you want to compete in a powerlifting meet, like they have a benefit. And I use them with just people who want to get stronger from day to day, people who want to lift heavy and see how heavy they can truly lift. Because I think when trying to figure that out with dumbbells can be challenging because you run into issues where dumbbells are just awkward to lift at those true max levels, but barbells don't have that issue. So definitely incorporate them into your program when you feel ready. If you want to start with dumbbells, that's totally fine. Like just to learn the movements, but, once you've gotten comfortable with those movements, like, you know, squat, deadlift, rows, things like that, there's no real reason why you couldn't use a barbell. And actually, the barbell will help you become stronger in the long run. The last one here, and I think this one, people don't often ask me about this, but I think they are genuinely concerned. And that's why I kind of added this to the list, is I'm worried if I go to the gym and I do something stupid, people will judge me, and also people will film it, are kind of the concerns. I think we've all seen like fitness videos where someone like films someone doing a dumb thing at the gym. And I don't have like data on this one, but I want to kind of talk about the experience I've had myself training, as well as the experience I've had with the lifters that I've worked with. And I've worked with hundreds one-on-one, maybe in the thousands now. I'm somewhere around that area. And just talking to them about their experiences and how often this happens. So for myself, I've had this filming experience happen once, I believe. I couldn't think of a second time, but it did happen once back when I was like earlier in my lifting career. And then in terms of the people that I work with, I've had two or three incidences where they weren't filmed, but there was like some judging there. So let's call it four situations. That is out of what's call it like 1,000 lifters and 12 years of my own personal experience where this actually happened. Now, I think you might have seen lots of videos like blooper reels, people making fun of other people at the gym and think like this happens more often. I think the reason those go viral is because they are uncommon, where a lot of things that we see in social media doesn't actually happen. It doesn't actually happen as often as you might think. A lot of people in the gym are just kind of ignoring each other. And I think like that's something worth noting, is that like most of the time they're going to ignore you, and that's fine. So if this is one of the reasons why you're not going to the gym, I highly encourage you to rethink that, because if it happens, it will happen once. The person who does that will not be the hero. Definitely go to your manager, whoever owns the gym, and that person will probably get kicked out. I've almost never heard of an actual filming situation where like someone films somebody and then put it online. So I don't want that to be a reason why you don't go to the gym. And if someone does bother you, like go to the manager, they'll be kicked out. It'll be a one-time thing. Like, I don't want that to ruin your experience, but that is not the norm. That is not the norm of training. I've gone into the gym wearing knee-high Pokemon socks with the craziest outfit, looking super weird. And even then I had no situations like that. And so I don't want you to think that like you going to do your workout, like this is going to happen. This is very, very rare. And even if it did happen, it would happen once and then like your life would move on. So I hope this was helpful. I hope that these were some of the fitness myths that you might have thought were true and are not true, or topics that I think hold beginner lifters back. If there is anything you want me to talk about in the future, anything that you're not sure is a myth or not a myth, feel free to send me a message, DM me. I'm happy to go over any of these again, or any of these new myths that maybe I didn't cover that I would love to cover in the future. But yeah, thanks for listening to another episode of the Badass Lifter Podcast.